We're going to turn to the scriptures. We're going to read, firstly, we're going to read, not Colossians, we're going to read Matthew. So if you want to turn in your scriptures, we're going to read Matthew. And we're going to read what the kids are doing as they move through the parables. So the kids' church is reading through parables of the kingdom. And Elaine is going to read that for us. So thank you, Sister Elaine.
We know that parables are a way of telling us a real truth about God. And this is the one that children will be studying this morning. Matthew 21, verse 33, the parable of the evil farmers. Now listen to another story. A certain landowner planted a vineyard, built a wall around it, dug a pit for pressing out the grape juice, and built a lookout tower. Leased the vineyard to tenant farmers and moved away to another country. At the time of the grape harvest, he sent his servants to collect his share of the crop. But the farmers grabbed his servants, beat one, killed one, and stoned the other. The landowner sent a larger group of his servants to collect for him, but the results were the same. Finally, the owner sent his son, thinking, "Surely they will respect my son." But when tenant farmers saw his son coming, they said to one another, "Here comes the heir to the estate. Come on, let's kill him and get the estate for ourselves." So they grabbed him, dragged him out of the vineyard, and murdered him. The owner of the vineyard returns. Jesus asked, "What do you think he will do to those farmers?" The religious leaders replied, "He will put the wicked men to a horrible death and lease the vineyards to others who will give him his share of the crop after each harvest." Jesus asked them, "Didn't you ever read this in the scriptures? The stone that the builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. The Lord's doing, and it is wonderful to see. All you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a nation that will produce the proper fruit."
I hope you can talk with a young person about what they learned in Kids Church from that one. Well, we're in, if I just go to our first slide, we're in a series. I'll read the scripture out as we go in the sermon time. So just on the next slide, we'll show us that we're in a new series. If you're here with us today, it's called The Complete Christian, or The Mature Christian. We're looking at working systematically through the book of Colossians. And you've all prepared, those who were here last week, haven't you? So you've all read it. Smiling at me. Let me encourage you to keep preparing for our gatherings. And if you need to find Colossians, I gave you the little tip last week, God's Electric Power Company, and Galatians, Ephesians. Now you know the song, so you can just sing it. But if you turn to there, or there's an insert to which might help you, and it's got the outline of the talk today. So that might be of good service to you, or things that you need to write down. Last week we focused in and started the series, and we focused in on one verse. It was from chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, which says, what does it say? Together, "Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving." That's it. We honed in and focused in on that one verse last week and got a kind of idea and a context and a picture of what's happening for that letter to be sent. And if you need to catch up on that, you can. The sermon's on the web. But we looked particularly last week at a call to maturity and thinking about, are you an A, B, or C, A, B, C, H-er? Yeah? And I don't know if you identified whether you are A, like an acts of service, you want to mature in some sort of ministry, or you wanted to grow in that area, whether you were a B, ABC, H, where you wanted to mature in a belief, you know, a truth or doctrine, that you really want to grow in, or in your mind and you're thinking of that, or if you're C, A-B-C-H-E-R, that you want to mature in your character and be a mature soul, so to speak. So did you identify what you are? Hopefully you did. You'll get a chance to do that at the end of a talk today and to pray with someone about that. So if you weren't here, that's what it was. If you can quickly maybe identify where you want to mature, where you want to grow, or where you hope to grow, and where, God willing, God can grow you. So that was last week, looking at that. Hopefully you've maybe set, if you've identified it, you think, well, what am I going to do about it? And what goal have you got? And have you set some goal? Have you set some structure around how you can achieve that goal? But just in our next slide, tells us we move from a call to maturity today, thinking on a call to praise and prayer. So that's what we'll look at today, a call to praise and prayer. Now, if you are going to write, or if you're going to, sorry, if you're going to praise and sing a song of praise to God, what are you going to sing about? And how long is your song going to go for? You'll be finding what is called the world's longest praise and worship song. And I don't know if you know what is the world's longest praise and worship song, if you looked on YouTube lately. Well, one that goes for 26 minutes and 33 seconds, and it's called The Great I Am, and it's a great long song too. So just on our next slide, you'll see that it's called The Great I Am. It's subtitled A Long Song of Praise and Worship to God Almighty. Now, you can leave it on that slide because this is called Dr. Pratit. Is that how you say it, Aksha? Dr. Pratit V. Philip. And he has written this song. I'll tell you a little bit about him quickly. He's an Inspector General of Police and he runs the Police Training Academy. Dr. P. is a member of the Indian Police Service. Currently, he is the Inspector General and Social Justice and Human Rights in Tamil Nadu, Chandi, in India. And he won the inaugural prestige Her Majesty's Award, the Queen's Award, of Innovation in Police Training and Development in 2002. So there you go. Interesting, hey? You can go home and listen to the whole song. A whole 26 minutes worth. And it's interesting that in India, where there's 1.3 plus billion people, that the gospel is bearing fruit. There's Indian Christians, and his church is growing in despite persecution that is going on there. And I have connections with Indian Gospel League, and I know that organization has their summer school, which has nearly, it's crazy to think the figures, nearly a million kids that they reach and gather together for their kids' gospel club, they call it. So great things happening in India. And is the Mukti Mission, is that, was India as well, isn't it? Mukt? Okay, next country, guys. But we also know that recently Compassion has been moved out of India, right? And they've been asked to leave and not to do the work that they were doing there. But despite that, the gospel is bearing fruit and there's exciting things still happening. And despite President Modi's push and his party's push to a strong Hindu agenda, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing. Our sister Aksha here, Indian heritage, 1 year being here, and I forgot to mention the Watts have been here for a year. Hey, ministering with us. Yay. I had the little picture of Tim blowing out a candle that we made a little cake for him. Is that back there somewhere? Oh, there it is. Hey, we gave him a mini cake at leadership. His number one cake. Look how excited he looks, eh? You can see it in his eyes. 1 year of service here. We've got our sister Aksha here leading us in praise today, and it's great to see. I'm loving that connection. But I'm going to pray for us now and commit this time to the Lord. Lord God, we praise you for a year of service of the Watts here. We praise you that you have brought them here. We praise you that we can now sit here and look at your word. We have it in our own mother tongue. We praise you for this beautiful day that you have presented us, a day that we can live and serve and honor you. And we praise you for your word, that we have it, that we can hear it, that we can read it out clearly. And we ask that you'll do a work in our life now as we listen to it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Verse 1 in chapter 1 of Colossians, it says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. This is the apostle, the sent one Paul, who writes with his mentee, Timothy, because he mentors Timothy. They together write this letter. He has actually been sent. Do you know where he's been sent? To Rome in prison. And he is sending a letter which Tychicus is taking to the Colossians. And so he sends this letter on. You can read about his story of going to prison at the end of Acts. Now, if you remember, is a small town. It's agriculturally rich and it's got a bypass. Does that sound like somewhere where you live? A letter to a small group of people, a small church. And here's a letter for us today as well. This is the people that live in Colossae, but more importantly, they're in Christ. Now, you could spend a whole series, and we could do a whole series about what it means to be in Christ and the blessings and benefits you have from that. But stick with me for the moment. In Christ simply meant here in verse 2 that they are what? Did you see that? They're saints. Now, I asked last week, they have received Christ Jesus as Lord. So they're a saint. Now, I asked last week for people to put up their hand who have received Christ Jesus as Lord. So you can do that again today. If you've received Christ Jesus as Lord, put up your hand. Now, if someone next to you has their hand up, you're sitting next to a saint today. Did you know that? You're so privileged to sit next to a saint today. So you can hello to the saint next to you. And you can say, St. Paul, it's nice to be here with you today. We've got St. Paul with us up the back here. Maybe the St. Lisa you've got sitting next to you. I don't know. Who have you got sitting next to you? And they've actually received Christ Jesus, Lord. It means they have his grace, and it means that they have his peace. They have the peace of God. Because they have been forgiven, they have friendship with God, and they are now at peace with God. The saints. And what does Paul praise God for? What does Paul pray for these saints that are in Colossae, these Christians? Well, verses 3 to verses 14 fill that in for us. And we'll have a look at that now. But the first part of it is the praising that happens. So next slide, we'll just highlight from verse 3 to verse 8 points that out, but I'll read that through for us. Also, thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of the truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and growing, as it is also does among you since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth, just as you received it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. Praising God for? He's praising God for their what? Their faith. And where is their faith in? Their faith is in Christ Jesus. Not in any of the Greek or the Roman gods, the Greco-Roman world that they lived in, but their faith is in Jesus. Their trust is in him. Their hope is in him, and he praises God that their hope is in Jesus. Their hope is in heaven, it says there, did you see? And if you jump over with me to verse 12, it'll say, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance. Their hope is in the inheritance of the saints in light. The saints have received the light of the world. Jesus says that in John 8 and John 9. When you receive Jesus, the light of the world, you gain his kingdom, the kingdom of light. These are members of the kingdom of light. They have faith, they have hope, and they have what? Love. Love for who? The saints. For all the saints. And Paul's favorite love passage, if you were to tell me what is the favorite love passage of the Bible, they read it at lots of weddings, 1 Corinthians 13, even verse 13. And it says, what is there? Faith, hope, and love. Yeah? The greatest of these is love. They have love. Love, and it says there in verse 8 of Colossians, it says, love in the Spirit. So they receive Christ Jesus as Lord. They have the Holy Spirit in them, and the fruit of the Spirit is coming out of them. They're bearing that fruit, and they're living that out. Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit is coming out of their life. They're bearing much fruit, as Jesus says to his disciples in John 15, in that, you know, that discipleship discourse he has with them at the end of the gospel we looked at recently. But in verse 6 in Colossians, it says, all over the world, this gospel is growing and bearing fruit. But it's bearing fruit even here as well, because in, you know, we've had recently of what's happening in Ballina and with the Cobs going there and other things, but things that are growing there and bearing fruit, as they've had recent baptisms there, they've had the kids in church, which is exciting for all people, and they actually just started a little youth group. And hopefully their youth group will be joining in what's happening here on the big gathering on Friday. So we can praise God for that. In Lismore, John Wilson was here and he shared with us recently and the Northern Rivers region and what's happening. We've got a gathering happening in Monday week for the Northern Rivers Baptist Association. I'm keen to mention who he talked about, a man by the name of Jacob. Do you remember that? Those who are here? Jacob, who has come back to Kyogle and he's a home church planter there. So he moved away, but he's come back again. And hopefully I'll meet him on Monday week. He's a little bit like an Epaphras. He's a home church planner in a way. An Epaphras who has shared this word with people and the gospel that is bearing fruit there. And down in verse 10 we see, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. That's a real challenge for us. Where is the gospel bearing fruit in our life? And are we bearing fruit, like Jesus calls us to go and bear fruit? And I challenge you to think about that. So everyone, think of something that you can praise God for right now. Okay, you've got it in your head. And then after three, we're all going to say it at the same time. And everyone praises God at the same time. They did it there while we're there. So are you ready? Have you got what you're going to praise God for? And after three, you can say it and see how we go. You ready? One, two, three. Praise you, God, for all these people that arrived and are here with you today. You're very shy. You can say it a bit louder. You're used to it, are you? Yeah, it's good to be praising our God, isn't it? A call to praise and also a call to prayer. And I'll just finish off thinking about that second half from verse 9 to 14. And I'll read it for us. Which he says, and so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of him, his will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. This is a call to prayer, a call to prayer without ceasing kind of stuff. This is pray continually, the idea of 1 Thessalonians 5. And in verses 9 and 10, did you see what he prays for? What's the content of his prayer? That they'll grow in knowledge of God and his will for them, that they may be filled and may increase in that. So this is the filling and increasing of wisdom, that spiritual wisdom, that you see situations and you see circumstances through Jesus' eyes and through God's eyes and the will that he has for your life. And then he prays for them that they'll live in a manner worthy of the gospel. Did you notice that? Their life, a life that is in honor of the good God that he is and the good God. Now, if you come back in Philippians, the book back, maybe one page over probably, 1:27 in Philippians, he says, what does he say? Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ. So that whether I come to see you or am in absence, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. See, this is prayer for them as well in Philippians. And we see again these parallel kind of letters. And probably the letters that he writ while he was in chains, as he mentions. And go to verse 9 in chapter 1. What does he say in chapter 9? What does he pray for them? And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and with all discernment. Prayer for them. He's praying for understanding, to know the will of God. And then he's praying for them for power to apply the will of God and live that out in their life. That's the things that he's praying for. And it takes maturity to do both, because you can be a master in theology, but you can be a failure in life and living a life for God. So it takes maturity for both, right? And this is praying not just to persuade God to do what we want him to do, but this is praying to find out what God wants us to do. What's his will for us? What is his will for my life now and the circumstance, the situation that he has and presents in my life? Praying for the power to live out that will in your life, every day, every situation. This is so walk in him kind of stuff. Chapter 2, verse 6. Praying so that you can live a life in the world where you find yourself, in honor and praise to him. It's not so much speaking in prayer to him, but it's actually listening. This is using your ears in prayer to see what he has for you and his will for your life. Now, I don't know what you've been praying for people lately, but it's probably good to just re-examine what's your prayer life for other people. Fine, sometimes as Christians we can be praying the smooth and removed prayer. Have you prayed that before? You know, these people are going here, can you just make it smooth and a smooth travel for them? And can you just remove that thing that's causing the problems in their life? Smooth and remove prayer. But maybe we need to think about what we're praying for. Rather, it's a strengthen and reinforce them, Lord. Strengthen them for where you have them and reinforce them to keep standing there so they grow and mature. What are you praying for Ian? What are you praying for Annette? To know his will in their life at this time. Strength to live out the life that he has for them at this time. Friends, to finish off, I want you to just pray for people around you. Pray for those saints sitting next to you. Maybe it's a chance to share whether you identified and just share with them where you wanted to mature. Is it an A, a B, or a C? And maybe that's something that you can pray for them. But take this opportunity right now to share something and to pray something. If you're not happy to pray, not comfortable praying, that's okay. Just share something. If you're happy to share something. If you're not, you can just listen to the person next to you.